Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
Yo, welcome to What's Up There podcast. I am your active and attractive host. Round of applause for my motherfucker. Support us. Best people in the country, best people in the world right now is the people rocking with this Up There podcast. I want to say thank you. You know exactly where you at. If you are in the building listening to the audio adventure right now, I need you to head to patreon.com where you can get the video and support us in that way, you know. And also, let me be clear what's happening over on Patreon or what's about to happen. Some of these things, topics, people, places, and events, I'm going to take over on Patreon, and it's going to be straight headshots.
Boom, headshot. Boom, headshot. Boom, headshot.
We ain't letting up. It's going to be a situation where I really dive deep into some of the things that we see happening in the game. Unfortunate for us, man, we got to operate in a way that's effective for the culture, right? We can't just set ourselves everywhere and just involve ourselves in anything. But there's a lot to get to today, man. I want to start off by talking about academics, speaking to LL Cool J. Okay, so for those of you who are unaware of what's happening, DJ Academics said a few words about the elder statesmen that's in hip-hop, the pioneers. You know, sometimes I speak on these things from a different perspective. You know, I respect the game. See, I never was given none. So you can tell a guy who ain't never probably had to go in the pot and get theirs. Now, I had to go outside and get mine. I had to get mine from up under the concrete. I had to bust the concrete open to get mine. So I got a different level of understanding. But anyway, DJ Academic spoke on some of these forefathers, and it is a disappointment that he said such things. But let's take a look at it and listen to what he said.
All rappers, man, them niggas. Have you seen any of these old rappers who be like, yo, they're the foundation of hip-hop, really living good? Them niggas be looking really dusty. I kid you not. And then none of y'all try to come for me, because I don't y'all niggas either. So I'm just tell y'all the truth. Y'all be looking like, every time they be like an old talking about hip-hop, you be like, yo, bro, you sure you invented this? Because everybody else living better than you. So that's what I'm trying to tell you. Them old rappers, man, them niggas, bro. Have you seen any of these old rappers who be like, yo, they're the foundation?
And so after that, some of the pioneers came out. And we're going to address kind of what Academics is doing and his format. We're going to speak to his business acumen. But right now, we want to just kind of lay out what the ingredients are that caused the issue. LL Cool J, Russell Simmons, amongst others, Ebro and others, came out in response to Academics. Here's some of the responses.
They created an industry that you eat off of. When you go out there and you go monetize your brand.
And just for the record, this is LL Cool J.
You go monetize your brand. When you go monetize your brand, when you go get your whatever and do what you got to do to build your career, when you go out there and negotiate your deals and negotiate your checks and talk tough, guess what? That money, that bread, that food that you eating was created by those same people that you disrespecting. That industry was created by them same people that you call in, you know, foul words, foul language. The people that you're referring to. So my thing is this. It's always good. It's always good to get money. It's always important. It's important. It's important to get money. I agree. I'm all about getting paper. I've been talking about it my whole career. But don't ever, ever, ever confuse being rich with making a contribution to our culture.
Extremely rich. I mean, I remember working with artists who were the biggest of the big, and some of them are not so wealthy today. I remember signing paperwork for Jay-Z and Kanye West, and they're pretty rich. So I've seen it all. And I was there before Rap Records, as I said. And I look at hip-hop as a way to empower others. You get older, maybe, if you get older, Mr. DJ, you will also look at hip-hop that way. Because in the end, life only gives you a comfortable seat. And memories. And my memories of people like the great Grandmaster Flash and his rapper, Melly Mel. Let me see. People in place to base in your face. You're about to see first place in the rap race. The sounds you hear so good to ear. Have no fear. The great Grandmaster Flash is here. Introducing the Disco Dream on the Mean Machine. The Darth Vader on the Slide Vader. No one made their family successful. What have you done for the culture, most importantly? I know Kanye's songs, and I know Drake's songs. I don't know you. I know I sound like Stacey Dash. I don't know you, nigga, at all. I don't know what you made. But I wish you well. God bless you, and Hip Hop 50 is coming, so God bless hip hop. And this is a Yankee hat. Put it on for you. God bless you.
So there's some of the responses from some of the pioneers in the rap game. First, let's deal with what Axe said and why that isn't right. Foundation is so important. But some of these guys don't really come from anything that really had any foundation or any structure attached to it, right? So even coming from gang culture or coming from the street, all of the bad things that come along with that, you learn quickly to respect position. I think DJ Academics doesn't see himself as eating off the same plate that they've made, and that's a mistake. This whole thing is extensions of each other. Even if you're on a label with somebody and y'all don't talk, but they've helped build that label now is running in a way that can sustain someone being a star of a certain magnitude. Some people can't even handle stars. But I think DJ Academics is sadly mistaken, because he's not understanding that these guys paved the road that he drives on. So you get arrogant when you in the car and all you know is roads being on paved. You ain't never had to lay the concrete down, lay the street down. You ain't never had to be instrumental in the process of making that road what it is. So it's hard to respect that. Another thing I think DJ Academics doesn't understand is that hip-hop music, this whole culture is ours, right? And they're not going to teach us how to monetize our shit. They'll take it from us and monetize it themselves. But with hip-hop, it was one of the first instances where we had taught ourselves how to kind of participate in the monetization of us. Because, you know, we know they done set it all up. On Christmas, they got where they sell us everything. On Easter, we participate just from a buyer's perspective. Now, here's where they up at. They let us in with deals, right? Because we wanted some participation. It's like, hey, man, what y'all doing, man? Can we, hey, we'll give you pennies. Y'all four people, Salt and Pepper. Y'all three people, TLC. Y'all split this 8 cents. And so we get to look at that. And what they up at is they let us see that we can monetize this. And now it's all about information. Because they got a structure. We run our stuff through that structure. Because Friday isn't cool until they say it's cool. The movie Friday, it's blackballed until they accept it and some big company buys it and says, hey, it can run on daytime television at 10 a.m. on regular cable. But picture me shooting Friday, picture Boosie shooting Friday, picture QC shooting Friday and trying to put that in a situation where it goes straight to daytime television. Imagine the fight of that. Act may be disrespecting the extensions of hip hop. I think in some weird way, he doesn't see media as being part of the culture. And I also think that he's disconnected from the culture. It's just hard to tell because he's black and he got a big platform. But Act ain't a nigga. Act didn't come out the street. Act didn't come from humble beginnings over here where, you know, we had to have grill outs. Motherfuckers played kickball and swung on monkey bars. And you understand? Act didn't come up like that. Act came up at the country, respectfully. But I just think that needs to be noted when we talk about his experience or his outlook on some of these things, right? I played football up the hill in the apartments. I slid down on cardboard boxes down the hill, you know, when it was snowing, right? I come from this culture. I've been overexposed in this culture. So when you deal with people who has been invited and accepted by the culture and also influential in the culture in his own right, I don't, you know, we're going to have a conversation about that. But right now we just kind of want to deal with what he said and why he even feels that way. But they fucked up showing us that we can monetize off of it. And now when somebody shows you you got something, then you just say, uh-oh, they just showed me it's working. Now I just got to figure out how to make money off of it. So now it's just information. Now we want to hold up. See, at first we think the splits of the pennies is just the deal. That's just the deal. And what happens is somewhere along the lines, we get some more information.
At State Farm, we're committed to uplifting Black futures. In collaboration with organizations like 100 Black Men and National Urban League, State Farm provides high school students with the opportunity to learn and apply best practice strategies for saving and investing, all while offering academic support, life skills, and exposure to college access programs to prepare these students for life after high school. Check out 100blackmen.org and nul.org to donate and learn more. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Someone started doing some math. Damn, they sold 10 million records and they had to split 8 cents a piece, but this was generated off that and this what was paid out to them and the rest was just lost in the translation and redlined. And it's like, that's what business is in 2022. That same avenues that they run through with Black Panther, that they run through with Batman, Dark Knight, any of these movies, they can take some of our creations and some of our culture and our understanding and stories and run it through those same things and make it commercialized. But they black it out and blackball it until they wrap their arms around it and say, hey, our little twist made it commercial ready. You know, no, y'all didn't do nothing for Love and Hip Hop or put it on TV. Yeah, most of our stuff, y'all don't do nothing to it. Maybe change the cameras, upgrade the cameras, better lighting. Y'all ain't doing much of nothing, but then taking credit for what it turns out to be and making it this polished commercial type thing. You know, it's understanding in my approach, though. I also want to speak about LL Cool J and Russell Simmons and a couple other guys' approach, right? Number one, these guys made a lot of money, so it's always important for them to step up. Like, yo, everybody ain't broke. What they talking about doing and how much they talking about? Yo, I made something. Like, so LL show up looking like LL, looking like he can run, hoop, swim, and do burpees, right? So and looking like he still got plenty of money. So they want to show up on behalf of the people that he's trying to speak on and also lend some understanding to what he doesn't understand. I think, again, he doesn't see it as an extension. Because he's really not from the culture. And it's confusing because he's a black person. See what I'm saying? Now, he's been influential in the culture. I know all these guys are scared of him. I come in the game rich. So I don't, you know, DJ Academics don't scare me. You know, I even hear him say shit about who unfollowed him and all this weird shit about they'll unblock me when they stop selling. And I'm like, this dude is delusional. I'm not afraid to act, bro. Like, I want to have these rough, tough conversations because I think it's necessary. What's happening is all these people ahead of me are afraid of academics because they have a past that they don't want to be looked into. They got some weird stuff they did to women or rape people. Like, whatever's in my past is in my past. What's in my past? I'm putting major game down and I'm trying to help people. So what DJ Academics is doing is shaming people with their past. And it would be okay if we're at high school. But what's happening is that's interrupting people's income. So after Russell Simmons comes out, you see him try to double back. And let me just apologize. It ain't even worth having some little dude with a platform going at me every day, like on some weird, like, let me just. So he apologized. And I hear the way even Joe Budden, and I'll speak about this even more, but I hear the way Joe Budden handles that. And I'm like, something's off. And I want to talk to Joe about it. Something's off here. Eck is running around handling these dudes like he's some big dog. And it's so confusing to me. I think he's a good guy. He's a good person. But he don't, as far as podcasting, man, that shit don't, like, I don't see what they see, I guess. I guess I'm not really understanding what this is about when people are saying he, you know, young people are like, what, who? No, I've never walked in on somebody playing an academics podcast. That's just me, where I be at, the spots I be in, right? They do go to them for the news. That ain't podcasting. Let's not conflate the two. Right? A lot of the times when DJ Academics is in the news, it ain't because of podcasts. And don't compare nobody to me that can't do what I do when it's time to do it. A lot of what DJ Academics does is drunk ranting on Twitch. And that's what kind of gets some traction. Nothing from his podcast that he says ever has any traction, respectfully. And that's not to say that don't know clips from his shows do good. But I'm telling you, far as his equity in the culture, his understanding of the culture. We seen NLE Chopper come out the other day. Yo, X, stop telling my relationship. You don't really know what you take it back. See, they don't want him to go because he ain't got nothing else to do. But you got to be more powerful than like that. Like, you can sit over and talk all day, but when I talk, the world stop. They listen. So you can sit over and stream 22 hours. I'm not doing that. I'm a boss. I'm not twitching 20 hours and all that old shit. We ain't doing that. So a lot of these people don't want to, and they don't have that aura to stand next to that and say, look at the little dumb guy working. Look what he doing. Look at the little dumb out there move like a dog chasing its tail. They don't know how to give that aura off, so they'll jump in there and try to do that with him. And he don't got nothing else to do. So why you got to go do shows and go to the studio and all, he'll keep putting stories out, keep drilling it, keep with his platform. And yo, bro, I don't see that. I think they're doing that not because they're afraid of act. It got to be because he got a platform and he'll dig that pass up. Act has never said nothing. He's used some words that I was like, oh, that was a good way to use that word. But he's never said nothing that made me be like, oh, he putting game down. Oh, no, act one of them. And I'm going to go on Act Podcast, and Act's going to come on my podcast. We're going to talk, right? I ain't disrespecting Act. I'm telling guys what the vibration is. And if that's took a disrespect, somebody going to have to hit me in my mouth when they see me. You understand? I ain't one of them little boys, though. Let's be clear. But at the end of the day, bro, it just feel like to me he has a misunderstanding of how these layers help each other, how this culture, right, how it's the hierarchy of culture and what falls under that media, and especially the shit he talks about in the media platform that he builds definitely falls up under what they've built 100%. One, bro, you the dude that when somebody die or get beat up, you go do the news. Yo, rapper got his jury took. Yo, rapper got his, that's your whole. So yeah, nah, they built what you standing on, that road you driving on. They paved that way.
All right, so let's continue the show, man. Of course, let's address the setting. I'm back at FOGFO Studios. I believe I left off kind of speaking about academics. There's a lot happening with that. I'll speak about that in just a second. Let me update you guys on what's been happening with me. I just left Revolt Summit. I had a good time. People, a different experience than last year for me, right? Last year at Revolt Summit, I wasn't as sure about what it is I do in this space, right? Even though I believed, I didn't understand. And so success and even getting integrated with successful people is a process. That's another thing. A lot of people want to meet successful people and their life changed that same day as soon as they have a conversation with someone. A lot of times people got to figure out how to work you into their system and all kind of shit. But my experience at Revolt Summit this year was a bit different, man. It was a great time. I think I'll speak more about it next week, because right now I want to kind of keep zooming in on what it is academics has done, what he said about rap, his approach, his thinking, and kind of examine why not he may or may not be tapped in what it is we call culture, right? Sometimes, again, it gets confusing. It gets confusing, and I'm not in no way, shape, or form trying to extract anything that he's contributed to the culture, but I'm trying to highlight that there's some sort of disconnect, right? And at some point, we can have a conversation and try to iron that out, figure out, yo, what's your disconnect with some of these things, right? And I know some of it is Hulkamania. You know, I know some of these niggas is Hulk Hogan when the camera cut on, so they got to kind of give the theatrics surrounding it, which is cool. But at the end of the day, it really be about like, bro, niggas affected by what you saying, you know? And so sometimes we got to kind of pull together and get in the huddle like, hey, let's think about the plays we running, because we represent the culture as a whole when we out there doing and saying and moving and shaking, you know? And we tend to ride with you all the way down. That's why we want people at the forefront that's going to make sound decisions, because our people are so loving and some of them are so stupid that they'll ride with you all the way to the depths of hell. You understand? So we got to start to, knowing that people are that naive in this new culture where internet has created facades for people to follow, we got to kind of make sure that the people that's in the forefront have sound information. It's just not regurgitating gibberish. You understand me? Or, you know, doing some of the things that could be considered dumb when you categorize some of these conversations. But let's look at a little bit more what I want to speak about. I'll tell you what I find interesting, and I think there's conversation to be had here too. There's a lot of people, for some strange reason, I think I know the reason, but I won't speculate. But for some strange reason, there's a list of people that won't call a spade in regards to what's happening with academics. Academics does the same thing as Adam 22. Then people say, well, no, it's not. It's not the same thing. And even academics are saying, defend Adam 22 side and say, yo, it's the same thing. Then academics come out and say, yo, these hip-hop old heads dusty, man. These niggas ain't looking right. And you know, if that's his opinion, that's his opinion. But people are framing that like, well, that ain't him. He really don't. This hip-hop done that. Nah, he said that. Nah, hip-hop, now he said that. I don't understand. I think, is the past a weapon to these nowadays? Like, this is a real question I want to know, like, to the industry. Like, I think that at this point, they starting to use these dudes' past, like, when they get a platform, all right, I'm going to be tedious about some bullshit you done. But I think that what happens also is that some people treat this rap game and entertainment and all things culture like a hustle. And although it is a hustle, anytime you treat it like just a hustle, I take your race out of that and I categorize you a certain way. When you look at some of the historical tricks that's been played to dupe some of the blacks and creatives out of some of the most influential events that's ever been known to human race, you got to understand the level of game you're dealing with. What we must understand, though, it's a delicate dance when you have to deal with this. Everybody can't just come in this culture and hustle and get some money because you understand the internet better than everybody and then call the nigga pave the way and then not understand that we probably got to have a conversation about that. I know it's a lack of information because, again, you didn't come up in our culture, right? Respectfully, right? You part of us. I give you that. And you got a voice in this space. But you didn't grow up where it was house parties, barbecues. You didn't grow up playing football up the hill and Juicy Juices and walking to the center and all that with the homeboys. You I don't think you come from that kind of environment, so this culture really ain't embedded in your understanding. But anytime we look at anyone that deals with this culture, that goes for, that's why a lot of people try to get at Jay. Pay attention. They try to talk about Jay, Kanye, anybody. If you get rich in this culture, they try to classify you as a certain way, right? You will see them say, well, damn, why P playing the numbers? Man, that what my hustle got to do with my habit. This is my hustle and my habit. Really, you should be not even paying attention to my habits when my hustle going good. But we can even put that to the side. When you get money in this culture, they try to frame it away. Everybody deals with it. We feel away when you just take and hustle this culture. Because the better question is, what did you contribute to it? And a lot of times, that's when they got to shut up when they talking to some of these guys. But I don't never deal with conversation. I always deal with mindset. I think framing is the most important thing, even when you deal with construction, houses, anything. I always remember the framing of things is the very most important part of it. That's why a motherfucker can sell you a bottle of bullshit water. But the framing of it. Right. And if you don't understand what I mean framing, I'm talking about the aura around it, the marketing and everything that make you think that water is better than turning your faucet on. Right. Everything that make you trust that soap instead of that soap. Right. Some of that shit is embedded. Right. No matter people trying to give you certain indications, yo, that ain't no good for you. Sometimes they still roll with it because it's embedded in them. It's about how it was introduced to him, who introduced it to him. See, this is another thing. You better be careful about people that you love introducing you into things. It gets harder to shake something that's been introduced to you by somebody that you love. That's why I try to tell my children, don't hang with people that will introduce you to things that I got to come and get you out of. Because if I had to come get you out of it, that don't tell me you got the resources or the expertise to get yourself out of it. And just how luck I have it and how the universe works, when you flirt, it'll unlock that door for you and you'll end up in that situation without me being able to help you. And then you'll turn yourself to a man in a bathroom. No, you'll turn yourself to a man in a cell. And that's one of my biggest fears. But we don't like people that come in this game and just hustle, take. And listen, I talk about paper. I talk about hustling, ownership, all that's important to me. I'm standing firm on that because I understand this business. But at the end of the day, I know that the people prior to me has contributed things that I benefit from. And if I don't have that understanding, it's because I probably don't come from that understanding. But this conversation continued. Again, Russell Simmons chimed in and started being tedious on his business acumen. Again, he came up at a time where the contracts was probably not that informative for the artist, so they probably wasn't favorable at all. So he held that against him and put him in a weird position. Just a tedious thing to wake up to. See, they got to start hiring niggas for them niggas. See, they come with me, I go hire one of them YouTube. They ain't got nothing to do. Get on his ass. Cause I ain't wrestling with no all day streaming.
You know, before I go any further, let me say this. When I speak about new media and just new interpretations about what we're seeing, I want to be clear, man, that our contribution to this space, the impact, the depth, the density of it, we're going to focus on making sure that it's very impactful, right? That's number one. But number two is just going to be a different explanation for the same occurrence. And I think sometimes when we get lost in narration, you would think that's the only way the story can be told. But I'm here to tell you different, right? You know, in regards to rappers, I see the current media, and this is just a little example. We'll continue to go on through the show. But I see current media criticizing and critical of guys in their current position in rap and certain things. And this thought from these media guys can be absent of a lot of information, right? So they'll pin them to their current status. When I never understood that, if I've made $20 million and at this current point, I'm not selling as good as I maybe used to, I think there's a conversation to be had there, of course, because the market says we should have a conversation about whatever reach has been lost or gained, right, at all times. We have a right to do that. But I think the interpretation of that could be spoke on from a different perspective, right? We can definitely say that, yo, Home made a lot of money. Like, he been there with right. See, with these people, they so waiting on these guys to fall. And I'm black. And again, I come from this. I'm not speaking from... See, a lot of this media, just look around. And this is respectfully. That's why I got a lot of respect for, you know, people like certain guys in the game, right? That's relatable, that we know, all right, he won us. He really speaking for us. But just look around the media space and say, how many of those guys outside of that interview could you hang with? How many of them is you really kicking it with for real before the interview? Like, or is it awkward? Because me, I try not to do a lot of talking before the interview because I get passionate. A lot of times me, that's why I speak to a lot of times me being new in this space. When I meet one of these guys and their response to me and what I've given to the game so far, it electrifies me. You know, so now my mind is gone, right? So sometimes soon I sit down, we gone, you know. But when you look around me, do you see the representation isn't in a good place? Because, again, you'll see these guys be critical of some of these people because they current position. You'll say, damn, bro, I sold 20 million records. Now they reporting because I sold 44,000 the first week. They don't even tell the fans, yo, it done changed. The way they count records done changed. Last year I was able to use T-shirts and stuff. They switched that. So naturally the number gonna change. But without that context around it, they can paint that as a fall off when the indicators have changed. The ingredients have changed. So the number has been affected by the standards and boundaries that's now put in place. But they don't say that. What they say is, man, last time he came out, what'd he sell? 290? What'd he sell this time? 120? Man, I don't know. Well, there's a reason for that. Or is the media that's in the current position not interested in speaking about the reasons behind some of these things? Because my job is to bring reasoning to the game, right? I ain't telling you to understand what I'm telling you. I'm telling you to understand that there's a reason for what you're seeing. You see what I mean? So I oftentimes think about a lot of these guys. See, they come from colleges they paid for on their own. They mama and them set aside money. They had them kind of mamas that can prioritize. A lot of these guys that's in this culture of entertainment that's thriving really come from the ghetto. Mama and them did not have nothing to prioritize with, home. Necessities wasn't even on the table every day. And if they was, we felt blessed because somebody close to us had to come over here twice a week to eat something. Anytime they get a chance, y'all, you know, they, man. And so when I see these dudes talk to these guys about, yo, you ain't selling a lot no more. Yo, you ain't doing this no more. I say, damn, man, somebody need to step out. But a lot of people can't articulate. So let me say it to the media guys. Man, motherfucker, some record sales. These niggas out the ghetto. They was able to stop hustling, selling dope, doing wrong. F***ing over they mama emotionally. And you talking to a about record sales when I done paid for every house of everybody I love. Man, f*** record sales. But that's how I want to paint you in this media space because they really come from well-to-do backgrounds. They really ain't got nothing but this little money. They don't even know what it's like to, man, we done escaped that shit, man. I be way in London checking the news in my city. I feel like I done evacuated, escaped some shit, but you niggas come from well to do, so y'all don't feel it the same. So you critical. You critical when they sales drop and you don't celebrate because they got out of the situation that they was born in. Picture that. Picture me shaking something I was born in just for a who didn't grow up that way to tell me my record sales ain't doing good. I done fell off. See, he can't even picture where I had to climb from. He can't even picture the circumstance I was in. It sound good in raps, but luckily, I hope you feel me when I explain the ghetto and the circumstance. That's why I won't let it go. I'm smart enough to go anywhere. You can catch me anywhere, brother. I can talk to you about finances, or I can talk to you about fentanyl. See, it's only a few niggas like me, and that's why the game react the way it react, because I can talk to you about finances or talk to you about fit and all. But these don't
don't consider that these boys done got out of burning building. All they say is, boy, the record said down. He done fell off. Man, how much he done made? Is his family secure? His kids in private school. He done invested in triple 10 times his money. And I got to deal with a well-to-do weirdo telling me to sit. Like, it's a weird place to be in. And this ain't about one person, because there's a culture of this going on. There's a culture of disrespecting the current standards. And when I say disrespect the current standards, what they're doing is they're taking the current standards and comparing them to yesterday's standards and not telling you that the standards have changed. Like, I think Wilt did a hell of a thing with the 100 points, but it was at a different time. You see what I'm saying? It way a little different. It was at a different time. The game was different. But they make sure when they speak about the game in that context, they tell you that the rules was different when Will scored 100. And they got to do the same in music. Say, dog, I scored 100 when the rule, they had little shorts on when Will and them scored 100, when it was that kind of, you can hold the ball longer and wasn't no three-point line and everybody was short and these things were, it was circumstantial. Everything is circumstantial in business. And so when they don't explain that, it just makes me feel a way. So I thought that, yo, Loon, you got the biggest platform in the world. If they real and they in this culture, they not disrespected by you saying that because they understand where you stand, right? I'm doing this for us, and that's at the end of the day. But I should come out and speak on it, because sometimes I'm starting to know, Loon, you way more than you think. Because I be sitting in the house or riding down the interstate wondering, man, why ain't nobody explaining what he's saying? That's wrong, man. And then, like, oh, they don't know. Oh, man, they didn't really come up. They don't know, Loon. You got to explain it. So that's my outlook on just media being in a very sacrificial place right now. You know, it's a lot of money to be made, but it's a lot of game to comb through. It's a lot of things that, you know, a lot of ways people are looking at things that I think just needs to be updated. And unfortunately for them, the game is sick of that shit talking. You know what I'm saying? The game is kind of sick of it, and I feel it from the outside. I feel it when I go to these cities. They telling me, boy, you kicking it. And that could mean more than the world to me. Let's talk about this. Kanye West went over to Good Morning America on ABC and had a conversation about leaving Gab about his life story at this moment. These are updates, and this is what this Up There podcast acts as for us, right? I'm telling you, I'm changing the game. Before I get to Kanye, let me tell you what I'm doing in the game to change the game. Therefore, this acts as the blueprint and lets you know that if you see someone change what they're doing at this point moving forward, then they may have got that from Loon. It's Up There podcast. The Experience are going to act as updates currently. Kind of sort of like the Breakfast Club. I'll give them that. They kind of did that as well. So let me give some respect to the Breakfast Club. But that's what I want to do, right? Outside of that, have the real conversations, the authentic conversations. Put that to the side. So he went up here and spoke about a few things, and he said something that really struck me, right? And what he said was, say, I'm no longer the person that's just at the top of the pogo horse. And for me, he could have stopped there. But of course, he drilled it down even more. Said, I'm no longer the team mascot that's telling everybody, yo, wear this, do this, grab this. This is what's cool. Run back in the huddle. And I ain't really owning nothing or got no real influence. And so he said his New Year resolution was to only speak to people that want to listen to him. And that's been my point of view. That's why I have a podcast. If you're not interested, I think you won't listen. I want to spend some time speaking about being the mascot, because you have to understand that a mascot is also an important position to the team. But here's the trick, and here's where these companies get it wrong. The mascot is a waste of useful brilliance for a proven person. So although the mascot is an important position, it's important who you put in that position. Because if you got a king in a mascot position, you're going to have some arrested development and some pushback. It's going to be a problem. Let's say that. But you got to be careful, because these companies will place you in a position where they'll make you the face of it. And they'll whisper in your ear, well, man, you telling people you own it either. Just so you know. We understand how that makes you look better for you guys. They agree to let you stunt and flage to the people. But it eats you up in the inside because when you talk like that, here's the trick. When you talk big game come to you. So you putting that ownership talk down. Ask Joe Budden what that feel like. You teaching the game about ownership. You teaching these folks about IP and all of that. And then you look up and they turn everybody turned their guns on you with that information you gave them. Same thing with Kanye and Adidas. We put you in this position to consume a face as if you're empowered, right? And the money isn't the empowerment that I'm speaking about. The information is. The infrastructure is. So I'm talking hiding the money. The money is a byproduct of that kind of shit. But I'm talking infrastructure and industry, right? So Kanye West trying to get in that position, and they allowed him to come out and speak as if, yo, and I'm not sure if he ever said it, but the outlook from the culture was he became a billionaire, so we owning something. Because our other people who were becoming billionaires, J. Puff, you know, Birdman did a billion for Universal and things like that, we understood that there was some kind of ownership involved in them turning that corner. Even if you had 200-400 million, there's some ownership involved in turning these corners. So when we seen him shoot up, and he made sure to try to, I'm worth $6 billion, I'm the richest black man, he made sure to try to, right? So for us, we thought ownership came with that. And so they've allowed him to come out consumer facing in that way. But the problem is you get certain information when people think you in that position. And when you get that information and you run back and see that you powerless, you say, damn, how did this happen? Now it eats you up because you talking that big power information. You talking that big ownership shit. And then they got you in a deal where you can't even use your own name on your speaker. They want to try to eat off of everything Yeezy. And that's on the Adidas side. But see, what they gave you the money for wasn't necessarily industry and information. It was for involvement. Be careful with these I words. Write them down and make sure you study them. But see, they paid Kanye West for involvement. We may not tell you much about the industry, but we'll consume a face and we're middleman everything. And so he spent off of them and go get involved with Gap, and that pissed Adidas off. You see what I'm saying? But now he's saying, if you pay attention, I said a couple of weeks ago that he was battling against families. I always know what I'm talking about when it comes to these things, bro. That real wealth is a family thing. That's why you got to get with some people. Ain't no one thing happening, man. Get that ghetto plug shit out your brain. You was the man in your neighborhood. It take 10 of us to make $1 billion. You was the man in your neighborhood, man. Throw that away, man. We got to create companies together, man. You can sell that weed by yourself. This ain't selling weed. But Kanye was speaking about that, and I wanted to touch on that.
Provided a statement to ABC News saying in part, we are confident we have been in compliance with the terms of our agreement since the outset, and we will continue to work amicably to unwind it. Above all, we wish Ye well. Ye remains in a legal battle with Adidas to receive ownership of his brand. The next step, he says, is to sell Yeezy directly to consumers, something he argued about with radio host Sway back in 2013.
Why don't you empower yourself and don't need them and do it yourself?
Sway.
Take a few steps back.
You ain't got the answers, man. You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answers, Sway.
So Sway, almost 10 years ago, said, man, why don't you do it on your own? Was he right?
You know what? I will go ahead and say Sway had the answer. Oh. I know people are going to be like, no.
So if you remember that time in Kanye West's life, he was broke and he was saying that he needed help. He understood that he had a brand and knew he wanted to do something with it. But this is what I'm telling you. Infrastructure is so important. And I know it sounds like, why is he asking that when he got money, bro? All you got to do is go hire the people. And people say that with so much freedom. Hey, yeah, just go hire the people, bro. You got the money. You don't know the people that I need to hire so unique that I may can't find them in the way to see. You think I'm just hiring forklift drivers. But I'm looking for visionaries. I'm trying to plug you to something that I care so much about I don't sleep long. I'm trying to plug you into something that mean everything to me so I can't just go get the average Joe and say, come on, everybody, I just need help lifting. Now, we need a specific lift. We need power lifters. We need professional lifters to deal with this delicate foundation that we're trying to move. Because being black, being part of this culture, being us, it's a foundation. But some of it is rooted in bullshit, right? So we need power lifters to take that foundation and just move it just a tad bit off that bullshit and move it over here to where we talking financial, where we talking ownership, leadership, and elevation, right? Game giving. To me, game is information that everybody can understand. That's my definition of game. If you got game, you can take a complex situation and break it down the way everybody can understand. But in regards to our race, in regards to what we got to do, we got to understand that we need help, but we need a specific kind of help. We need people to help us. They got our best interests, but we need to be careful with that understanding because people will know that we need help because of our best interests and trying to appeal to our best interests and not be genuine. You genuinely got to care about the content. You genuinely got to care about the product. You genuinely got to care about the haircut. You genuinely got to care about the resource. You genuinely got to care about the cooking. You can't half-ass do it. You can't just do it when you want to do it. You genuinely got to enjoy this stuff to contribute in a way that's really impactful. But they asked him about that Sway question. And if you go back, Sway was telling him, man, empower yourself. He was like, bro, that quality I want, I can't do it. They got me locked out. I see the trick. The trick is overcharge you and let until you go mass. And you can't go mass for under this number. And if I ain't got that number to go mass, right? So, and they purposely make it an unreachable number to go mass so it can only be these certain companies that really can go mass. And it's like a pyramid thing, so I need to go mad. This is his thing at that time. But looking back at it now, because now he has the information from that level, he can say, yo, that's what I needed to do. But at that time, he couldn't do that because he didn't know that was needed to be done. And that's why I'm not sure that I would be so hard on what he's saying. But I think Sway understood it because he broke it down very simple. He saw it simple. See, sometimes we talking the same thing, we viewing it different. I see the dream as this big. You see it as this big. And your approach can be effective for my big dream. Because sometimes I gotta have a simple approach for a big dream. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes I can overthink because it's so huge and big in my brain. But sometimes we can never agree on the approach because I'm gonna say, nah, you think it's too big to handle it like that. And sometimes you're gonna say, yo, you're overthinking, man. Just handle it like this. Like how Sway was just like, yo, bro, just back up and just empower yourself, bro. It's like, now I'm thinking about it, that's probably what I could have done and did it a totally different way. But would the impact have been the same? That's the question then. Now you got a new question. Would Yeezy, would Kanye West's impact been the same had he not went with Nike? Had he not went with Adidas? Had he not did some of these deals and brand deals with these Virgil and Louis and all of these things, if he had not went the industry route, would his involvement in culture be that huge as it is? Because I think part of what made him that guy is his fight with that industry. Some of his cachet in that place is because of that, in my opinion.
When I finally go to heaven, I get to talk to God, I'm going to say, why did you let all these people think I was so crazy? Mm. And God is going to say, well, it was a camouflage. I was protecting you.
Protecting you from what?
Just, you know, people write off the fact that I'm going to change the world. They just think it's crazy.
How are you going to change the world?
More. how we're going to change the world more. Not just eating. You are what you consume in any way, from the people that you're around, sunlight, the type of, you know, music, the art you listen to. So we're going to change everything. Apple is the number one company on the planet, and Yeezy's going to take the spot. Yeezy's going to be bigger than Apple. And we're going to be bigger by supporting the planet. So I'm Steve Jobs, and the earth is not...
But you mean in an apparel way?
You mean talking about, you're talking about in just clothing?
When you're saying that you're going to change the world and that you're going to replace Apple as Yeezy, I mean, right now, we know
I didn't
Yeezy
say we're going to replace Apple. We're still going to use Apple. Apple is just, it's a standard, it's a base. Apple is part of the reason that Yeezy's going to have the opportunity to be bigger. We're going to stand on the shoulders of Apple. And that's exactly what Steve would have wanted. He would have wanted to inspire a kid like me, as Jay-Z said in show in the show movie, Eating Cereal, to stand on the shoulders of Apple and take it to the next frontier, and to realize that the human being is the iPhone and our earth is our office. And we need to support both of those things in everything that we do. And that's how, not me, but we, as a collective, our species, we're going to change the world. We're going to change the world through information, through knowledge, through love, through respect.
Hold on, let me try to digest. That was heavy. The human is the iPhone, and the world is our office. That's heavy. That's heavy. I don't know if I want to dive into that yet. I haven't. That's literally, I'm watching this right now live, so I'm not sure I want to dive into that, but I do want to just say that that is extremely heavy. If you don't know, yo, that's some heavy talk right there. The idea that you can have, you can program the human the same way you do a phone, or you can appeal to the human's natural instincts in the way that the phone does, right? That's what my mind is going like, yo, that's heavy. That's heavy. Because so picture like if somebody like Kanye West is looking at these people like his characters. You know, like GTA, you go in your closet, you put this on, you put this on, you say this, you act like this, you drive this car. He could be in a weird way thinking that he's like, yo, that's heavy talk right there. I'm going to think about that and get to that in a couple of weeks. Talk about this and get out of here. Maybe a short pause for this week. Academics. Academics, again, has just had an eventful week. He's been in the news a lot this week, so he's come up on all these platforms. He was invited to Breakfast Club. I think it's an interesting dynamic that certain people have with Academics. His place in the game is solidified. He has a place in the game. I just think he's confused about his position in the game. I don't view Academics as a podcaster. Right, I don't view him as a podcaster personality kind of guy. I view him as like a I really don't know how I view it, but I don't view it that way when it comes to act. But that can't take from what he's done, the money he's making. But I think it's a conversation that needs to be had in regards to what is that he's doing. But set that to the side. We're dealing with what he said to Lil Wayne's daughter, Reginae Carter. For those of you who are unaware, Reginae used to be in a relationship with Wifey and Lucci. I guess that relationship is over. Wifey and Lucci is in jail fighting RICO, trying to get out, you know, mixed in all that down there. So Academics came out and said a few things about Reginae. Let's listen to it.
Y'all remember Lil Wayne's daughter? Lil Wayne's daughter. My bad. I forgot her name. Reginae. Reginae loved hood niggas. She loved Wife and Lucci. That was her, bro. She loved a hood nigga. He had Thug Life tatted across his chest. I think even Wayne got Thug Life tatted across his chest. She loved that showing up to all type of BT celebrity basketball game. She love that, man. You know these bitches, like, let me not call. You know these chicks be like, yo, they love her. Of course they love her. To that nigga, 25 to life. No, everything was all good with him until she realized that called a RICO. She seen that murder charge on this shit. I've never seen a chick quickly, Regine, some name Armand. I don't even know who this nigga is. Like, nigga, he even downgraded. Like,
and so academics came out and said, you know, that about the young lady, and he received some backlash. You know, he's having conversations on his Twitch, and he's getting credit for podcasting. I want to be clear and respect due to academics. That's not podcasting. What he's doing is just drunk talking. That's just some drunk talking at his house. It's not podcasting, right? So what I find interesting is, and I'm not asking him to cater his commentary, right? You do it with your voice, what you feel. Just understand that there's receipts on what you're purchasing. And so at some point, people going to want to bring some of that energy back to you that you put out there. That I took a receipt on some of that. You see what I'm saying? So with that in mind, I view it. I say, all right, boom, let's see how we handles this. Now, the first trigger thing was the young girl's mother came out. He said the bitch word there, but he took it back immediately. So I'll give him that. But when the mother came out, I said, all right, this is a problem. She came out and tweeted to him and said something about, listen, let my young daughter live her life, man. She's 20-something, you speaking on her, and you calling her a bitch, that's not cool. So what that told me was that's the message they got back to Wayne. Not that she told Wayne, but I know that he's not somewhere looking out at the internet trying to see what's happening. But you must understand that what you just did to my daughter is a violation. That just landed you in a real interesting place, in my opinion. Right now, you can stand on it and say it's media and all that if you want, and you got that right to do that. I don't see Wayne looking at that and saying, all right, baby, this is media. You know, he let slip out his mouth to my daughter, and you know my daughter and him look at me like the most powerful man in history. I'm Lil Wayne. So I got to let you slip, bitch, out. I got to let you slip that out and then retract it real quick and then tell my daughter, babe, he retracted. You know, and you still kind of slick standing on. It's a weird place, right? And so I look at him. I'm like, I see what he's doing. I think he's been in a place where I'm sorry feels weak to him. You know, I'm sorry probably feels weak to academics, so he don't necessarily want to tell he rap sorry for nothing. You know, he feel like I ain't bowing down to these. They done me wrong. So in my opinion, that's the kind of energy I get, because in something like this, there's nothing to be said outside of I'm sorry about that. In my opinion. Now, we can't say that's always someone's daughter, but when you're speaking down in age-wise, when you're speaking down age-wise, right, when you're an old man speaking to a young girl and calling her bitches and hoes, then that might be, especially if she ain't enforced or made any type of threat or indication of violence or anything to you, and you speaking to her in that way, you don't know her, you have no relationship with her, and then she's the daughter of one of the most famous rappers that ever has been seen in our culture, and you happen to cover rap, that's a weird place to be in, right? There's a lot of grown women or women your age older than you can talk about, or there's a way you can talk about them, right? You I know that's live streaming. That's why it could have came out and you supposed to just immediately say sorry, right? And then when somebody reach out, man, I'm sorry about that. I apologize about that. That wasn't cool. I'm too old for that. You know what I'm saying? But I think he don't know how to... See, this is the thing about being cool. When you a cool, you can do anything cool. You know, you eat cool, you apologize cool, you dress cool. See, when you just learn how to be cool in this one thing, sometimes you might not want to shake out of that because I don't really know nothing else. You know what I'm saying? But when you just that, man, you can be like, oh, my fault, big brother. I apologize about that. I stepped on your shoe. My fault, homie. And keep it moving. But when you got to live in that super tough mode, you step on a shoe and expect him, man, why you got your foot in the way? You ready to die about something you ain't even right. You just on some other shit. But academics was under fire. Now, it did kind of seem orchestrated a little bit because you had... This came out with Lil Wayne's daughter. You had him under fire about the PNB Rock thing. And then the shit about the rappers, the old rappers. This was all kind of at once just coming down the turnpike. But here's an interesting thing. We're going to listen to a little bit of what DJ Academic said on The Breakfast Club, and we'll come back with some game.
Even all right, so let's talk.
I didn't hear the clip because it was me. So, in what reference did you call her daughter a bitch? If you called her a bitch?
Okay, so I didn't necessarily refer to her as a bitch. I was speaking about a public relationship that's been posted on Shade Room and everywhere else, mm-hmm. and that's another thing. Everybody keeps saying, "Yo, act while you comment on these things." We're in an age that people are monetizing their relationships.
Absolutely.
You can't, like, I monetize my life, and if I share stuff, I can't be like, yo, Sharman, why you talked about that, dog?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's facts.
Now, granted, there's sensitive areas there, mm-hmm. and that's where I wanted to make sure when I addressed it, my tone was right. I'm cracking jokes, mm-hmm. cracking jokes, okay? And I even said it on the, I think she had Shade Room posted, and I said, listen, it was a joke, and by the way, I did say the B word. I retracted it 1 second later. I said I shouldn't say that because her name was slightly associated with it, right?
Fuck that bitch. He cleared himself up.
I cleared it up. And by the way, you see,
I didn't hear it, so that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, immediately. Like, mm-hmm. as soon as I said, I shouldn't say that. And then I said, like, woman or something that was definitely much more appropriate. But here's the point. And go, she smooth just dipped on that dude. She got, like, the opposite of like, his archetype, which I'm just saying a gangster, right? I'm like, I know a lot of, and that's when I use the word, I know a lot of the B words, and I said, I shouldn't say that. A lot of women who do the same thing. You get what I mean?
Yeah, the B word is a conundrum, right? Because it's like the N word. You know, when you use it the way you used it, or when you hear it in music, it doesn't bother you. But if somebody called your mama that, a woman that you love that, now you up in arms. So I even when you see the rappers getting upset, I'm like, well, y'all use that in your
music.
That's
another thing.
All the time.
You see, that's another. But
I get it though. I get it from both. I understand both sides.
I will say this, right?
Because, I told you that you act like a.
And you know what I said? Because she was like, don't talk about my child like that. I'm like, damn, but you talking about my mama's child. Like, you talking about me. Like, listen. First of all, I'm not commenting on a kid here. Like, she's 23 years of age. She's having a public relationship. And by the way, I've commented on this a lot. Mm-hmm. And also, granted, because I don't know these people, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I'm also not sugarcoating shit. Like, oh, no, this is, you know. I could comment on Ari and Moneybagg Yo, but this right here, nah, you can't talk about it. Mm-hmm. I talk about everything. Just like
I get it.
If you read the comment section on the Shade Room, my Instagram, it's in there, give it up. But they tell you what they really feel.
Yeah, these guys are slippery. All right, let's try to put some game around what he's saying. Listen, I think he's right. I think you should be able to talk about everybody, since you do speak about some of these relationships, and I get it, these are public relationships, and that's not what the conversation was, though. And I'm surprised that someone with the level of experience that Charlamagne and Envy has, because everyone knows I have respect for what they've did in this space. Charlamagne in particular, and Envy has done what he's done in DJing, but Charlamagne and Yee, I don't mean no disrespect by leaving her out, but that whole Breakfast Club infrastructure over there, you know how I feel about what they've did in the space and just the blueprint that they laid down, and Charlamagne evolving into what he is today. But I do find it interesting that these guys find a way to help Academics. I think it's clear, like, when you watch these things, you see Charlamagne trying to strengthen Ack. You see it. It's like a visible thing. Because we're having two different conversations. And I know if you're being rational and if you're being objective and you're listening, then you say, okay, you're right about that. You should be able to speak about everyone. And that's not what we're speaking about here, unfortunately, for your narrative. What we're speaking about here is you called a bitch. And I know it slipped out, but unfortunately, you're live streaming. So because you couldn't edit it, anything outside of I'm sorry needs to be viewed a certain way by the person that made the mistake. The people on the outside of the mistake have no obligation to understand that you're live streaming. And I know what you're going to say. Well, we use bitch in the culture all the time and this and that and that. And if the mom comes out and says, hey, you're calling my daughter a bitch and you didn't mean to, you say you didn't mean to, I don't see why apologizing isn't on the table. I don't know why we stand on wrong. I just don't understand that. See, that's where y'all getting it wrong. And yeah, we use the word, but if we are approached and we saying that, yo, we didn't mean it. Nah, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean that word I said. That's where you're losing me. When you say, well, yeah, I said bitch and I didn't mean it, but I'm not apologizing because I talk about everybody else. That's different. You ain't apologizing for talking about it. You're apologizing for saying bitch. Let's clarify the circumstances. Is this on?
Boom, headshot. Boom, headshot. Boom, headshot.
At some point, we got to have a real conversation. Because it's a difference if you say, yo, I called you a bitch. You acting like a bitch respectfully. And although that's disrespectful, then there would be no need for apology. And that's why nobody's confused. Because if you would have said, nah, I stand on that. I said, bitch, and I meant it. But you didn't say that. You said, nah, that slipped out. Well, if that slipped out, make sure the apology is clear every time somebody bring that up. Hey, Reginald Carter, no, I apologize for that. I let it slip out. That's if it's an accident, and that's where the contradicting come in at. But again, I think it's interesting to see, because I even see it with Joe on the other side, and I can't wait to have a conversation with Charlamagne and Joe about this. It's visible for the savvy mind that they try to strengthen academics, because Ack will have the same situation as Adam and they'll frame it different. Not Charlamagne, but Joe will frame it different. Now Charlamagne steps in with Ack on this and it kind of feels like he's trying to hug him. He's trying to hug his narrative and strengthen it a little bit and help him with carrying over to the other side, you know, because I don't see him putting that together well. And for me, again, I still don't see the parallel there. And when I zoom out and say, Loon, why do you think people are trying to strengthen Ack? Because they don't make money off of him. And I think it's legacy. I think that Joe and Charlamagne has this thing about Ack, about who legacy he's a part of. To me, I always think that Ack looks at Joe more like competition than he does Charlamagne. I think he really looks at Charlamagne like a big homie. And I think he looks at Joe like, you my boy, but it ain't like that with you. That's my opinion, and I got a right to have my opinion. I view it from my perspective. And then I ask myself, do you think it's genuine, or is it because academics been around long enough to know everybody's secrets? So academics has a joke on a lot of these guys where he kind of knows certain things, and he can be tedious with it with his kind of big platform. Especially in the social media space and YouTube space, right? He can definitely pound the narrative on some of these guys and make them disappear or make them be viewed in a light that they don't want to be viewed in. But if they're going to call what academics does on Twitch podcasting, then they can't call this what I'm doing podcasting, because this ain't what he's doing, and what he's doing ain't what I'm doing. So we got to identify what's happening. I know that when he's on Twitch, that's him drunk talking. Right? That's just him getting drunk at home talking, very comfortable. When he's at Spotify at that office or whatever, that's him podcasting. When he does his YouTube thing, that's him content creating, right? I compartmentalize these things and view them in a way kind of different than the rest of the market, I guess. But that's not podcasting. But again, anything outside of I'm sorry in that instance would have been considered wrong, in my opinion. T.I. reached out, said, yo, we need to have a conversation. Really, it was a lightweight push up, what T.I. done to him. And I think they came to a resolve, you know. I'm not sure, but that's what it felt like. Now, I want to point this out just to kind of strengthen my academics, Charlamagne and Joe thing, right? About the way that Ack looks at Joe and the way Ack looks at Charlamagne. Let's take a little brief look at this clip right here.
Like, someone died, and he put, like, a video with the guy who, like, yo, meet the guy who killed blah, 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 right?
Now, Joe Budden also criticized you releasing the PNB interview.
Yeah.
A couple days after his passing.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on that?
Joe's my man. And I think Joe primarily did that because he just got an Adam 22. I think Adam dropped, like, a video. Like, someone died, and he put, like, a video with the guy who, like, yo, meet the guy who killed blah, 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 right? And I think Joe was saying that was tasteless, among other things, when dealing with death. I think this was completely different. So PNB mm-hmm. Rock, you know, tragically and unfortunately, right, you know, passed away in L.A.
He got murdered.
Yeah.
When
somebody tried to, like, you know, rob him, the same week, we do an interview where he's talking about a similar situation that almost happened. I remember I said, damn, why you think that happened like that? He's like, man, I don't know. The timing of it, I think, number one, it was newsworthy. So it's different. I don't like when people are just trying to monetize off death. But I think that's newsworthy. That adds to what's going on, because maybe this just isn't random.
Every media outlet does this. It doesn't matter if it's CNN, NBC, ABC. When somebody passes away, they got their montages and packages and old videos and pictures and old interviews. Everybody does it.
I think in hip-hop media, I like to say new and independent media is treated as differently because Revolt could run, you know what I mean, the oldest interview or freestyle they have of PNB Rock, and it's kind of like, yo, they're paying homage. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they're showing love. So I do think there's a new thing.
So are the TV networks. What do you think advertisements are?
Absolutely. I agree.
When they do these specials where they play the funeral back, or they send, for Queen Elizabeth, they sent all their journalists over to the UK. Like, it's the same thing.
Yeah. What we do, or like what I'm successful at doing, and I like to call it, I don't want to dream on green myself on some new media shit. I do think these new platforms are becoming so popular.
You could be saying, Loon, where you going with this? And I just want you to understand the different approach that Ek has with Charlamagne and Joe Budden. I don't want to play it. I don't want to find it. But if you go back in the archives, when Joe was getting that act, Ek basically said, Joe. Joe can say what he want. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep. It's more competitive spirit. When he talked to Charlamagne, he says, hey, look, man, I don't think monetizing death is cool. Mine was a little different because it was before the internet. He explained it totally different. He basically took Adam's side against Joe Budden. Just by proximity, though, he didn't come out and say, I'm on Adam's side. It's just like, I'm on his side of the argument, and I'm uploading something next week. So I'm saying, and just that difference shows you there's something there. And it may just be competitive spirit. He may pull competitiveness from Joe and want to compete with him in that way. And he doesn't see Charlamagne in that same space, so he don't compete with him in that way. But it's definitely a reason why when he talks to Joe, it's more so like, fuck what Joe says. He can say what he want to. I don't care about that. Well, he does the same thing. You talk about it. What's the difference between you talking about it? Da, 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 da. And then sit down with Charlamagne and be like, yo, Adam them is different. They'll have an old interview, and I don't like that. I ain't really on that. What I did wasn't that. What I did was it was an interview prior to the, and he explained it very, very detailed. But he didn't give Joe Budden that same courtesy. And I just wanted to point that out. It's one more part that I want to pay attention to on this, because it was an important question that was presented to academics. And that question was from Charlamagne and DJ Envy. I think Envy was the one that pointed this out. I want to really spend some time on this, just a little time on this, so we can kind of see his reaction to this question. Let's take a look.
Say, well, how do you give back to the culture, right? So how would you answer that?
Well, I mean, it's not providing a platform for dudes who are trying to get out of certain situations and trying to further themselves in their career to help their family giving back? Like, what sense of giving back? Is it just because, what, I didn't make a sizable donation to anybody?
No, like, what do you mean? Sizable donation, but like you said about, you know, some of the as you put it, dusty old rappers.
I remember sitting back and wondering, yeah, these talking about their record contract, but how that look like? I created a rap parody thing called Little Ack that I could actually go get signed, that I could actually, like, I got a JV to make sure, because I want to be, I remember back in the day when Ryan Clark looked at, like, Skip Bayless or, like, it was Stephen A. Smith and basically said, y'all never play no ball? Like, how, there was Jalen Rose.
Jalen Rose.
Like, y'all never play no ball? Like, how are we going to listen to the who's just the mm-hmm. guy in the stands? So I try my best to understand the game. And if you ask a lot of these newer artists, Who was I just interviewing recently? I don't know if it was Boston Richie or somebody else, but they were like, yo, you broke down the game for me.
I just figured something out by listening to that. It's clear why you say that the old rappers are dusty and things like that, because you don't understand contribution. That's why when that question came up, he was kind of like lost a little bit, like, okay, so kind of what you mean contribution, like? Providing a platform for guys. What do you mean a sizable donation? No, man, you got to be resourceful, informative, available. Come speak at some of these events. Pass out at some of these centers. Buy lunch for some of these less fortunate individuals just clicking on some of them videos, right? Try to do some of those things. I definitely want to say this because I'm sure me, Ag, all these guys will have a conversation. They can't get around me for much longer. But Ag better have a an answer to that question before he talked to me. You don't want to sit across from me and not have a clear answer as to what it is that you contribute to the culture, as you are critical of the founding fathers of the culture that held the contributions of this structure on their back. And so then we can even take it deeper than that when we have a conversation and say, all right, so you say you provide a platform. A lot of people, not me, I won't put my vote in as to where he stands, but a lot of people will say, yo, your platform just speaks on beef and problems and things of that nature, and that's what kind of light that people get from your platform. Outside of that, it's bashing them, right? So it's, if it's beef, put them up. And if it's something that makes them look like they're not the superstar they used to be, put them up, right? If it's something great, they damn near got to pay for you to put it up. So it can go up, but the frequency, the volume is lower. You see what I'm saying? So the world you've created over there, a lot of people argue and say that it's a lot of, it's beef heavy. So the platform you're saying you're providing, in what way? Is anybody getting free posts? If people are doing good in the culture, do they get a post? Charleston White didn't get a post till he started coming on your platform, or it was understood he was coming, and he was on every shade room, everybody was posting him. You know, so I'm saying that contribution-wise, we got to start to lay that out. And if you don't got one, that ain't necessarily the biggest problem in the world. You just got to get with some people and line something up where you can start to be more, have more of a contribution and not be just taken from it, because that may be why you look at it that way. But I just wanted to speak on that, man. Next week, we'll have a conversation, you know, about another few things. I want to thank everybody that's always tuned in. Podcast is growing, man. I want to shout out to everybody that's posted me this week and all the celebrities that's been in communication with me, all the companies, sponsorships, y'all hit me up, ad people, y'all hit me up. Get in front of these people, man. Let's do some business. Have your bag together. But yeah, man, this podcast is growing, and I can't thank y'all enough, man. I was coming home from the Revolt Summit. You know, I had been in three cities in 8 days. You know, because I'm a young road runner, hustling, trying to get the money, you know, and you know how women be, you know, they be on the phone. Yeah, when you get home, you know, I want some dick. You know, I want you to give me, because she, you know, they know I talk like that. So she know that's my vibration. Sometimes I get in that vibration where I'm on some, yeah, you know, hey, man, you know, when I come home, you know, I'm going to handle it like, yeah. So, you know, I'm just one of them guys. So she trying to reciprocate that energy. But sometimes I think she be forgetting who she talking to. So, you know, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, man, when I get there, yeah, of course. Yeah, we're going to take care of that. So, and I proceed to set the mood. You know, I get the mood cracking. You know, I get everything where it's supposed to be. I'm going to get down to it. I'm giving dick. You know, I'm giving dick. I think, yeah, you say you want dick, huh? You say you want, I got dick for you. I got dick for you. That what you were talking about. So I'm giving dick, right? We get done. Man, I done hurt her, man. I said, oh, man, her day slick over with. I said, you can't talk to me like I ain't working with a monster now. You got to talk to me with lower your tone when you say, you don't want no dick, you want sex. You said what you should have been telling me, babe, I want sex when you get home. Because when you tell me you want some dick, that's a challenge. You sound like you want a party, you know. So, and it had been some time since I had put my hands on her. So, you know, this is a situation where I said, oh, yeah, nah, you don't want no dick, you want sex. And when y'all need to understand the difference. It's a difference now. You don't want me to, you know what I'm saying? Because then you be somewhere with your stomach hurting. And for real, I'm going to be honest, I don't want to really hurt no woman. No, I don't really like it. Some of them like it. I don't like it. You know, you hurt, oh my God, it's hurting. Or you hurt me. Or, you know, somewhere nasty, my stomach, all in my stomach and all that. And I get it, you know what I'm saying? But I try not to. It's a pleasure vibe. You know, but I got lost in that, don't, you know, it was a challenge for me. So this is a PSA I want all women to know, man. When you're dealing with an entrepreneur, he out and he all on the, you know, grind, and you Some were excited for him because he paid, he about to come home or he passing through or whatever the situation is. Man, don't be talking out like it. And he show up giving you dick and you really just wanted sex. And now you and now you somewhere got to sleep the rest of the day and she done wore you out. You know what I mean? So it's Up There Podcast, man. I'll see y'all next week. Biggest in life. Let's get it.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hills and Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.